You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.
And ladies and gentlemen, look who's back. Look who it is. The trio is back for the first time in a long time. But we're going to try to have a good time today because we are talking New York Yankee baseball. And also, if you don't know, we are Keys to the City, by the way. I'm Trevor Keys, the host, alongside the big brother, T3. Ted got a little color. Ted, a couple more days and we're going to be in, Joe, we're going to Scottsdale. You ever been to Scottsdale, Arizona?
I've not been in Arizona.
Do you know anybody that's ever been to Arizona?
I do. Yeah, I hear good things.
That's all we hear.
It's all dry heat.
The warehouse ball?
90s. It's going to be 90 degrees there. So it's going to be nice.
Wow, that's huge.
What are we talking about? What is Ted talking about?
I'm sorry,
already?
I was looking at food.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore Orioles right warehouse dog. Pops new.
Yeah, you see all these foods? Crazy foods are coming.
Yeah, it's a debut warehouse dog, which is a foot-long hot dog that includes horseradish-infused brick sauce, pit beef queso, pico de gallo, onions on a pretzel bun. Holy cow, that's unbelievable.
Joe, have you been to a Yankee game yet?
Looks good.
No, not yet.
Going May 19th.
I'm aiming to go. I gotta get on.
I'm going May 19th against the.
Well, think about the time right now in New York. Think about the times right now. As a fan,
yeah. O.J. Simpson just died. The New York Knicks are doing really well, and the Yankees are in
Simpson,
first place.
And guess what? The Ranger. Are we thinking of 30 years ago, the summer of '94 replay? But now it's the summer of '24 with the Knicks and the Rangers. I mean, if you're a Knicks fan, if you're a Rangers fan, wow. Islanders, Mets. I feel bad for you. Jets got new uniforms, and the Giants are figuring out. Or Daniel Jones, I should say. Needs to lay off the Adderall. I don't know if you guys saw his press conference, but God, that man had the blackest eyes. He looked like Michael Myers up there. Looked like Michael Myers. He looked timid. I swear to God, go watch it. It's terrible. He looks like he's on drugs. Looks like some serious drugs.
No, I haven't seen what he's talking about.
Daniel Jones, you have to go watch the press conference today. But there's a reason we have the Joseph McGuire, because we're talking New York Yankees baseball for the first time this entire year, which is wild because we are diehard Yankee fans and we haven't talked. Before we get into the red hot start and why the Yanks are somehow off to this, like I said, unbelievable start with all the injuries and some of slow starts to the big boys like Aaron Judge. But as I said, the show title for this year, yeah, I know, Ted, I'm telling you, watch it in a few. Destiny awaits for the Bronx Bombers. Why do I say that? Because some unfortunate and tragic and sad news. I shouldn't say tragic, but sad news. If you're a New York Yankees diehard, breaking news, legendary Yankees play-by-play announcer going on 36 years strong is retiring as of today due to health concerns.
I thought I saw a bunch of health concerns. The post is wrong. They were talking about Michael K. It's okay. 100%. Michael K.
Okay.
Gave
okay. That's fine. As long as
he said another fake news story from the New York Post.
Well, hey,
it wouldn't be the first time the post is. No, it was 100% because Michael K was talking about John Sterling. He called him the other day, Saturday. He goes, I'm done. He's like, and Michael's like, what do you mean you're done? He's like, I'm done calling the games. And he's like, well, John, why don't you just like wait till you feel better? He goes, it has nothing to do with health. I'm just done. He goes, I'm tired of going to the games. I'm tired of going to the ballpark. I can watch all the games from my house.
Sometimes you just run out.
I'm going to be 86 years old this year, July 4th. He goes, I'm just tired. I'm done. That's it. He goes, it was nothing else other than he like had enough, wants to enjoy, did it for 36 years. You know, that was it. That's what Michael K said, because he was like, I'm begging him. Like, come on, Michael.
Hey, as long as
come back part-time?
As long as it's not healthy, that's fine.
And he said 100% had nothing to do with health. It's just he's tired. Good. And you don't think about him as 86 years old, though.
I had no idea until you just told me. I had like, well, serious, 86 years old?
July 4th.
86 years old, damn.
But I think also, like, they were talking, like, why did he retire? Like, why now? Like, why not tell the people at the end of the season? Or why not when the Yankees come home this weekend for a three-game set? Why not say
because
this?
Because it's destiny to give them even more motivation to go.
Well, no, they were saying maybe
he
didn't want all the hoopla. Like, I don't need no recognition. Like, and kind of lets it known that, like, you didn't know it was his last game. Think about it. If you knew, like, this Saturday, like, the last game, dude, the place would be packed. Like, there would be – astronomical numbers of listening on the radio and stuff. I just think he didn't want
to. Joe, what do you think it is? Shocking surprise.
I think something's wrong with him. I think something is up. I mean, doing it as long as he has, there's a reason Derek Jeter and Mariano and, you know, a lot of these guys over the last few years have gotten these farewell tours. I don't think you suddenly stop doing it after 36 years with the Yankees and 5,000 games. You don't just say, like, yeah, I'm done today.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He could have came back and did one more game, though. Joe, if
yeah, something is up. Something
but
is.
Didn't he have an issue, like, last year or so or a couple years
ago? Well, he wasn't
ago,
doing he away some, games.
He wasn't doing every game. And, like, she and Susan was doing the main when he wasn't doing it. So I feel like he did have some sort of health issues at some point. He might not tell Michael Kay, he might not, but no, I feel like there is. I mean, he's 86 years old, 36 years doing this, like Joe just said. Also, Joe, I agree. I think there's got to be something. He probably doesn't want to tell anybody because once you tell people something, hey, I got some health concerns, you know, people are like, especially if you're close to him, like Michael Kay and him were like, come on. I mean, the calls that they've made, the games that they've been a part of, if he's going to tell, Michael Kay would have been like devastated. That's a best friend. So I feel like he's keeping it on the down low. I agree, Ted, to the extent, but I also agree with Joe because I don't do that a lot.
If anything,
you John two Sullivan, are the ones usually agreeing. But honestly, I don't think somebody's gonna be like, "Hey, I'm a healthy."
Excuse me, if you're as close as you are, then why wouldn't you tell a friend? That's
because maybe it's early stages. If something is actually serious,
then you would tell a friend. You tell your closest.
Maybe he doesn't want to do it. I don't know.
Well, no, listen, not for nothing, but Curt Schilling a few months back got in some trouble for giving up information about Tim Wakefield, and people really didn't like that a lot.
That's a good point.
So maybe Michael Kay is being a good friend and isn't reporting something. This is unusual, and it's unfortunate, and it's sad because, you know, for me personally, I've been listening to the radio an awful lot. Because Comcast is garbage and took the Yes Network away from me.
Sad.
And so I've had a really hard time watching the Yankees on television. And fortunately, I'm able to listen to the radio broadcast. And he's not good. He's not good at it. He makes a lot of mistakes. And I'll tell you, it's part of the charm. Because, and I do live radio every single day, and things happen, and that's just how it is. The way he reacts to some of his mistakes are legendary. There's people that don't like it. I love it. I think it's fun. Obviously been, yeah, it's such a, you know,
like the way back, a home run call at the wall.
Yeah. I get a kick out of that stuff. I think him and Susan Waldman are as annoying as she can be at times. And I know there's people that don't love her. I really enjoy them.
How about last year?
A great comedy routine to me. It's like Albert and Costello doing the Yankee games.
How about last
You know his last home recall is the Stantino bomb.
Bernard was at that game. So he was there for
the bomb that he hit.
One of his funnier moments, and it's
remember the
crazy.
Ball hit him in the face on a foul.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Is when he's like, and the ball's oh my god, he's like, the ball hit me. Like, you don't want to see somebody get hit by a ball, but like the way it, like you show the video of it too, it's even like, oh my god, it's even funnier when you show the actual video of it. But it's unfortunate, like I said, to see a legend of the New York Yankees franchise having to all of a sudden call it quits means that it's got to be destiny, right? I mean, the Yankees, I actually have, this is, I saw something online. I just wrote this down. This is from a Yankees Twitter. I think me and Ted actually follow this Twitter. It's a guy's name is Addison at Yankee World. I don't know if Joe follows it, but funny, a little weird situation going on for the Yankees. So in 2007, think about this, a Yankees player won an MVP. That was A-Rod. 2008, Yankees missed the playoffs. That was the last year in the old Yankee Stadium. 2009, they won the World Series. If we remember the past 2 years, 2 years ago, a guy by the name of Aaron Judge won the MVP. Last year, they missed the playoffs. What happens in 2024? Right now, the Yankees are looking prime for a deep playoff run because of the way that their presence is at the plate. And it's because of the man. Just give him it. I don't care. I don't give a shit how much it is. Give him everything. Pay him $1 billion. Joe, I text you all the time. Just give him everything. He's the best player in baseball. Best hitter in baseball. I've been saying it forever. I've been dreaming that Juan Soto was a New York Yankee.
Numbers and Mookie Betts numbers are better, but
good. He's the best hitter in baseball. He gets on base. A career 420 on base. I mean, he's changing this lineup. I mean, look at Anthony Volpe right now. What is Anthony Volpe like? It's like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, that has nothing to do with Soto. I think Volpe.
And Tim Kirchhoff said that. It's got a lot to do with Soto.
And Tim Kirchhoff said it too.
That guy's hitting in front of you. Yeah, you're gonna look dynamite with that guy behind you. And I'll tell you what. You want to talk about what Juan Soto's done? How about Giancarlo Stanton? Yeah. Despite striking out, I think about half of his at bats, yes, he leads this team with 4 homers, 9 RBIs. He's hitting like 230.
But Joe, do you know what the crazy part is?
Listen, I'll take that. He's being at least productive, and this lineup is deep, and it's got a lot to do with Soto because Gleyber Torres can't hit his way out of a paper bag, and Aaron Judge has not gotten on track yet. And you got to figure with Soto in the lineup, I think right now they're going after Judge, which isn't going to last because once he heats up, you're going to be in real trouble with this lineup.
But just think about, hold on, Ted, but think about all this right now. They're 12-4, first in the AL East with all the shit that's happened to the Yankees right now. Without Cole, without DJ, the New York Yankees desperately need DJ LeMahieu back for fielding purposes because Gleyber Torres is a mess. And that communication between second and short is a big, big issue. It's why they lost yesterday. It's why they've had issues throughout this short season so far. Out with Dominguez. I mean, when he comes back, God, they have a great problem to deal with in that outfield. Remember last year when we had AAA guys playing outfield? Now we got 4 guys or 5 guys that could legitimately play outfield. Then you got Judge and Gleyber struggling at 200. The catchers have been almost – you're playing with 8 hitters in the lineup right now. Because Jose Trevino and Austin Wells have been awful. And then Verdugo, who has had great solid moments for the Yankees team so far, is only batting .218. So this But this team is 12-4 right now with the way they're pitching staff. I mean, Nestor has got a 4.5 ERA right now. I mean,
the thing. Their team ERA right now is second in the league at 2.78. Their batting against average in the league is .217, which is second in the league. Walks per hits per innings, 1.2. It's 6th in the league. So they're not putting people on base. Holmes, 6 saves, no earned runs yet. Been solid. Now, of course, we lost Jonathan Loaiza.
Oh, that's my boy.
We didn't talk about that, and that's another huge loss.
That's another loss.
That's why, the thing. Trevin, going back to the other thing with Volpe. Joe, remember, it's funny. A couple years ago with all those shortstops that were available, you know, that free agency class. You know, you look at it now, you're like, our guy. I mean, we'll see. It's really early in the second season, but this is kind of what the Yankees were hoping for when they held on to him, didn't trade him. You know, you look at him like, all right, .381. We're hit. What's he got? 21 hits, .382, .477 on base percentage, 14 runs. He steals bases, playing a good defense. He won a Gold Glove, which is actually, couldn't believe that he won a Gold Glove last year at shortstop.
Ted, remember when you said that?
I watched a lot of games. I didn't feel like he was a Gold Glove shortstop.
Ted, do you remember when you just said Soto has no presence of Volpe in this lineup? Well, there's got to be a reason because their OPP right now is .354. It's .354. Sure, that's third in the league right now. So his on base percent, the team's on base percentage is .354. So that's third in the league. So his presence alone, like I know it's one guy and there's 9 guys in the lineup and some guys are still batting .200, but his presence alone, him and Volpe, it just gets everything going. I mean, right now, why are you changing anything at leadoff? I hope to God they don't. I hope they run it, Joe, honestly. I don't know how you feel about the leadoff with Volpe going forward, but I mean, it's working. It's delivering. Don't you think?
Oh, I think they've got to continue to do that. I'm also... I'm curious why Oswaldo Cabrera is still hitting at the bottom of the lineup.
Where would you locate him?
I would move him up to sixth, just somewhere. I mean,
no, I think he works at him like the extra, like where they had DJ, like Jeter,
utilities DJ. DJ.
Where, like, yeah, he's the guy that can get fine. The lineup going.
He's ripping at 350 right now. He's been hitting bombs. I mean, play the hot hand for now because DJ LeMahieu is not far off from getting a minor league rehab and probably coming back. Again, I would just ride the hot hand. It just makes sense to me, but that's just for whatever reason. That's not Aaron. It's never been Aaron Boone's way.
How do we feel about both? I'm going to ask you both the question. How do we feel about Aaron Boone right now? His management.
I like everything from the first weekend in Houston when I talked to you about this was two things he did when we were talking about Cabrera. Right, he wasn't really supposed to start that weekend on third base, right? Because they had brought the kid. I can't think of his name, but if you the third baseman, the guy who's more of a defensive, he had a good Thursday. Then he had a good Friday. They bring the kid over. Cabrera starts Saturday. And the only reason why the kid played Sunday was because Volpe was sick with the flu. But he kept the hot hand. And if you notice, his bullpen never pitched the guys more than 2 days in a row. Remember that weekend, the bullpen, the same guys pitched all weekend. So he went for it. You know what I mean? He didn't. I can't use Clay Holmes for a third day or a second day in a row. Nah, the analytics say no. Kind of did a little bit more of a gut instinct, which why not, right? Set the tone. Because that is our kryptonite, our nemesis the past whatever feels like forever, last 8 years. To go in and set the tone right off the bat, I think that says a lot about this team. I think that's kind of set the team off for the whole start. To start 4-0, to go down to Houston, just sweep them. Not just one or two games, but to sweep them. I get it. Houston's had a tough start of the stretch of the season. But
it doesn't even matter. For you said, Ted, you said it best. It's their arch nemesis. Who cares if they're struggling? For them to go into Houston, a place that's been nightmarish for them for years, and this franchise as a whole, and for them to the way they came back. I mean, they were trailing, I think, in three of the four games, if not all the games, and they found a way to come back.
Well, I know the opening day, they definitely.
And that right there is one of the key things of resiliency. That's a key trait to have. As a team, you got to be resilient because you're going to face adversity throughout the season, especially as a team like the Yankees. When you have all that pressure coming into the offseason, especially with the addition of Soto, you know that everybody, all the eyes are going to be looking at you, so you're going to have to come in, and you're going to have to deal with that. And they came in, they played their team that's been kicking the shit out of them and kicking their ass and been laughing at them, and the Yankees won four straight. I mean, they could be right now, what? They could have two losses.
They should have won yesterday.
And the Marlins, they should never lose to the Marlins because they've been awful right now. Rizzo's been a nice surprise, though. I think having Rizzo right now is great to have. It's kind of balancing off of, I guess, his Judge's at times in absence. And hopefully yesterday's home run, Joe, this is a sign of things to come.
This is the extension of the spring training. And Joe knows that too. You need to get the reps. A lot of these guys, and you know this, even this is kind of like the football season. If we want to relate this to the football season, the first 4 weeks of the NFL season kind of – they're fun because everyone's so juiced up for the season, but it's not great football. There's a lot of mistakes, a lot of, you know, things that happen. You don't start seeing the best football – to like week 7-8 where teams start to hit their stride. That's why in football, start off, you know, 3-1 or at least 2-2 is such a key because the season's short. Now, this Yankee team, 12-4, I know it's a short patch of work, but it's definitely a positivity considering, Trev, like you said, the Cole situation that starts the season off right. You're not sure what Nestor's going to be, you know, coming from injury last year. Rodon kind of looked like shit.
Rodon and Stroman have been nice. Listen,
you know, you my weren't big, sure Soto was going to live up to the billing. You know,
my big issue right now. I like everything, but
we've seen this team though go before.
I think there's a hot start of the season,
and then they faded. And if you read Judge's comments after the game yesterday, he goes, "It's not how we start the season, but it's how we finish."
Yeah, of course, obviously, that's cliche. That's for everybody, especially the Yankees. But Joe, there's a lot of great things that we've seen so far throughout this early season. I know it's 16 games. They've won every – bless you. They've won every series. They haven't lost.
Oh, that was quiet.
But that was great. Well, he muted it. See, people mute. I can mute you if I want to. I can mute anybody, but I don't want to. Right, if you got to sneeze, God bless you. My thing is, and the big issue right now, and I think we all can agree, is the Gleyber Torres issue once again, Joe. What is he, sign language? We got sign language now?
I said last year when he sort of refound his bat, that they should have moved him this offseason for some pitching or for something, because this is a guy who, as I've said 8 million times, so it will bear repeating if you don't mind me saying, you're taking a Gold Glove winning second baseman off of second, and you're moving him to third. Now, DJ LeMahieu, he's a solid third baseman. He's got the right build for a third baseman, but to be honest, it's not his best position.
When he comes back, he's going to be full-time second
baseman. Yeah, but listen, DJ's old, man. DJ's old.
But here's the thing, Joe, I agree. I don't care how old. Okay, but I don't care how old he is. Like Joe said, he's a Gold Glove second baseman. Our big issue right now.
10 years ago.
Our big issue right now, that there's not a lot of big issues, with the exception of the obvious that's already happened, and you can't. You got to move past it.
Yeah.
Is this second and shortstop combo right now that causes? I mean, we lost yesterday because of infield issues. That's a big problem. You're missing DJ. I get it. Like his bat is probably not once what it once was. I should say when he was, you know, one of the best in the game. But we
can overlook that if Graber hits like he did last year.
But that's the thing, Joe. Both of you.
But what if he's
batting 203? He's batting 203 right now.
Can I relate this to something as a basketball fan? This is the Draymond Green thing. How much shit do you take of Draymond Green knowing what
Draymond's got?
I'm just saying importance, because when Glaber plays the way and hits the well he does, he's as good as anyone hitter on that team except for maybe Soto, a Judge. But he's right there, and he could carry this team, and he could get hot.
And but I agree with Joe.
Like the hottest who plays up to his potential, and you've seen it before. That's why you don't just let the guy go and trade him. Adios, amigo.
He's a hole on defense. I don't listen. Yes. Unfortunately, and listen, you remember those two seasons where he hit 38 home runs?
Yeah, he had like 30 back-to-back seasons. Yeah.
That made up for the glaring, terrible defense 1 year at second and then the next year at shortstop, where he was so abysmal. It was, and people were like, well, put him back at second. He was good there. And it's like, no, he sucked at second.
I just don't think you're going to get the value in a trade for pitching as you would.
Not right now.
For what?
Yeah. I mean, he's got to like get back to hitting. And again, that's why I thought when he found the form last year, it would have just made sense to move him.
Yeah.
I thought he should have been in the Soto trade, to be honest. I think you could have held back one of those pitchers if you had maybe included him.
I don't mind them keep, hopefully he starts, you know, just getting on base and just hitting some dingers for stats. So somebody like in, you know, trade deadline, the Yankees need like a back end rotation guy or even a bullpen guy, because they are dealing with some injuries. So Teddy, we'll get one of those.
Teddy, he can hit 220 if he hits 35 home runs. That's because he's got to make up for what is a black hole.
But you know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like the ongoing situation that's happening in the New York Giants franchise. It's like the same. It's like Daniel Jones. We've gone with the same thing with Gleyber Torres like we do with Daniel Jones. The difference is Daniel Jones is the quarterback and Gleyber Torres is a second baseman. That's the difference, is that we've been talking about this story every year, at least once or twice a year. When we've done, since doing this show, we've talked about Gleyber Torres, and whether it's his struggles at the plate or struggles in the field, we have always talked about Gleyber Torres. It's like the Daniel Jones situation where we've literally talked about it. And it's,
guess what? Gleyber is 1-for-1 with a home run. Thank you very much.
No way.
He just redeemed himself.
That's mine.
He just
redeemed himself.
He did not redeem himself.
Oh, no. He singled the center, but he scored a run.
Oh, I thought you got a home run.
I was trying to
John Sterling calling the game?
But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is that this is the same thing we've been talking about, a nonstop of just literally, just like the Giants. We got, as New York fans, we got to stop talking about the same shit, because we gotta find, there's still some great positives that are coming out of the team. I mean, Juan Soto is, I mean, he delivers like this. He's going to be the favorite to win MVP. I mean, he's batting 345 right now. Him and Volpe have been a great 1-2 punch in the lineup. It's Glaber, just Joe. Joe, if there's one big concern from you from the lineup, I mean, if it's the obvious,
the catchers have been dreadful.
Yeah.
They're a combined 8-for-51. I mean, that is that's about a 140 batting average combined. These two guys are supposed to be good.
Well, Austin Wells is supposed to be.
Yeah. You know, well, Trevino was an all-star when last he was full-time at the gig. So, you know, in a platoon situation, they've caught well, but they've been absolutely dreadful at the plate. That's hopefully starts to work itself out, but I don't like it so far at all.
So Torres hit, got a hit. Then Verdugo got a hit, double, and then Cabrera came up and put another hit. And so
they're on the road tonight, right?
Yeah, they're at the Blue Jays. They're up 1-0 right now.
And also, I feel terrible that Cabrera tends to hit behind one of the catchers, and it's like they never get on base. Yeah. Always making it out.
Yeah, but you're not gonna.
So tonight, Joe. So tonight it's different. So he's got shit. They just changed the light. Give me 1 second. So
it sounds like he's hitting a little higher. I think Cabrera, that.
Cabrera's batting seventh. Austin Wells at eighth, and Trent Grisham is ninth. He's playing center field.
Stan's off tonight.
Stan's off tonight. Yeah, okay. Verdugo's on left. Yep. So. Okay. But I like that. And like you said, you're going to get Dominguez back. I mean, like we've talked about this a couple of years ago. If Cole can come back, that I mean, we already know.
What are the – can we – hold on.
Dominguez to come back in the summertime.
This is – oh, my – I'm so glad you brought this up because this is an MLB thing I want to talk about. I think it's a huge deal. What is going on with the forearms and of the pitchers in baseball right now?
Everyone goes so hard, bro.
Do you see the pit? The names that are, I mean, Cole really started it. And then Ohtani.
Here's the thing. I'm asking Joe. Joe's going to probably agree with me. Two things.
Yeah, one, right. Of course he will. You guys always agree.
Because no one cares about anything else anymore except for velocity and speed. Throw the ball as hard as you possibly can. We'll worry about the accuracy afterwards. So get to 100 miles.
Isn't it the motion that they're throwing now?
And then the second thing also is, and this goes back to when I was a rimmer, and North Haven Youth Baseball would never allow the kids do it until they got to the Babe Ruth and Ponies, was too many kids are throwing curveballs way too early in the thing. So their arms – like Joe remembered Joe talking about this a couple of years ago. And you got high school kids now getting Tommy John surgery and early in college years. And it's almost like they do it anyways because they know they're going to get it anyways. So – Jeff, it's no different than any other sport. The bodies are built so much bigger, stronger, faster now. And listen, I was talking with the Yanks or something, but they were joking about it. It was like, you know, we always talk about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth drank beer, smoked cigars and hot dogs, and like could just play every single day and play like 118, play back-to-back doubleheaders. And you got guys like Stan who are like goddesses, bro. Take their shirts off and they look like a Greek god. Like that's how you want to sculpture the guy. But they're so muscular and big, and they're so finesse, they get hurt all the time. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the fat guy who plays softball. He just goes out there and rakes all day and just like smoke, and he goes out there like drinks a beer, has like a puff of cigarette.
That's what I'm saying. Like how the hell? How does a guy like Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, the Babe, you know, smoke cigars, eat hot dogs, burgers, drink, be out all night, and then play 160 fucking games? Like I don't get it.
I've got a 565 batting average four games into the Whiffle ball season.
Here he goes.
I'm telling you, I'm like Tony Gwynn out there.
Crowds the plate.
You don't get a ball by me.
I know how Joe. I see how you stand. You're like over the plate. I see what you do, bro. I don't like your state. I don't like it. I don't like it.
He's like nobody does. Come on. He's like
you're like no. You know who he's like? He's like Mo Vaughn. Remember Mo Vaughn back in the day with the crouched over.
Joe doesn't have the lead.
I'm telling you. You know what? The most important thing in my swing is I choke up with two strikes and I go with pitches. And I get on base a lot. And that's what baseball is all about. And that art has been lost in this game.
Yeah, but to see these pitchers going down left and right is a major concern.
Spin rate on four seamers. Again, you talk about Babe Ruth. I mean, Babe Ruth was just kind of slinging it in there, 91, 92, maybe? You know, these guys are throwing 98 miles an hour with like a spin rate of 3,600 RPM. That is an unnatural motion. And
I see a lot of pitchers throwing like the sidearm and shit.
The amount of torque that's on their elbows. And think about Gerrit Cole, like how many times he's thrown that baseball since.
I saw people complain about the pitch. I think people have said the pitch count.
because they're rushing. They gotta like you gotta speed up now. And
yeah,
and
so you're I don't know if I buy that. Here's the thing. You have to learn to pace yourself in a baseball game because, you know, when we talk about a guy's throwing 100 pitches, I mean, they also throw 7 pitches in between every inning in the warm-up. Mm-hmm. Nobody counts that.
They warm up before the game.
That's all considered like low stress pitches.
What's that like 50 probably pitches to warm up to get started?
So listen, I mean, you know, so the third inning, I mean, you threw 9 pitches, you know, you struck out 2 guys and you got a weak ground at a third. That counts just as heavily as that fourth inning when you walk 2 guys, you know, things were looking a little dicey there. I think you really got to look at innings and pitches that are more stressful on a guy. And, you know, if somebody's on the ropes in the fifth inning and he gets out of it and you bring him back for the sixth, I think you're setting that guy up for overthrowing.
How do guys throw 120, 130 pitches back in the day, and now a guy can't throw more than 100?
It's like hitters now. They can't
put a hamstring on him almost.
How does Judge get hurt? Like, how does Mike Trout get hurt? Listen, like on a consistent basis, looking like that.
I think these guys are worth, you know,
genetic freaks.
My God, I was watching an interview with Mickey Mantle, and he was talking about Dave Winfield in '85 was getting 1.2 mil. And Mickey said, that's more than I made in 18 years. You're talking about one of the top 10 greatest players of all time, made less in his entire career than Dave Winfield made in 1985.
Oh my God.
Now you're looking at, you got guys making $35, $45, $55 million a year. That's a guy that you feel like you need to protect. And so by placing restrictions on these guys that are, again, sort of unnatural to the way things are done, you're creating all these problems.
I don't understand, though. I agree with Donald Greco when they talked about it. Why are you paying these pitchers huge money?
Crazy.
They pitch once every 5 days. Crazy. And the likelihood that you give them a big contract and he gets hurt one of those years is probably highly likely.
But you know what? You're paying these guys just as much as you don't want them to go to another team.
No, I know, but think about it. You're paying Cole $350 million just so he pitches once every 5 days. Pitches like maybe once and a half a week. You got guys like Judge and Soto and all these other guys, they're worth so much more. They play every day.
What's more valuable in baseball now? Comes down to almost the value, like the NFL. I mean, the value of position is pitching more important or is hitting?
Oh yeah,
you don't have. I mean, that's the question.
Listen to me. I'm so annoyed that the pitching win has been devalued. And to me, it was almost an attempt to devalue pitchers. And then this idea of like, oh, we'll have an opener and then we'll bring the starter into the second. It's so stupid. It's stupid gimmicks. It makes me think of Charlie Finley with the A's in the 70s. You know, it's like you don't need to bring a midget in, dude. Like we get it. We'll go to the games. Just make it interesting.
We'll get it. We'll go to
the. You know what I mean? Like I don't need that. I think it's a shame that they got rid of the shift. I mean, learn how to hit. Go the opposite
Joe, I'm ashamed.
Way. Learn how to bunt. I don't. You know this.
This game has become
a very slow and very boring game. And as live streaming becomes readily available and opportunities, you need to be making this game more offensive and more exciting.
But that's why you want to ship out.
What you've managed to do is make it predictable and boring.
This is what they need, though. Come on.
That's, you know, you'll never see that again. How come there's not Judgy bars? Get me a Judgy.
There's a Judge Burger, right? Isn't there a Judge Burger there or something?
Judge?
Yeah. How bougie. How much is a Judge Burger? Like $30?
$15. Yeah.
You and the boy going to go out and get a couple of burgers? You're not doing that.
By the time that happens, they're going to be like $50. They're going to be like $50 by the time that happens.
Let me go to college. It'll be like $100,000 for like the gateway.
What a time. I got to ask you before we sign off, Joe, because we are 10 days away from another Here's another thing that we say since being on the show. Another massive draft for the New York Giants. So I'm going to ask you very quickly, who do you want to see the Giants at six? Quarterback or receiver? And if so, I just want to get your opinion because we're going to obviously talk about it.
I'd love to see receiver there. I just think you give Daniel Jones one more go. And I don't know. I'll tell you. The stab in the heart of, but here, letting Saquon walk, I'm sorry to say, I don't understand it.
I agree. I don't have a problem.
You know, immediately it's like, has Saquon Barkley solved the Eagles' problems? Are they the prohibitive favorite for the Super Bowl? It's like, we just gave that guy to the, and they're going to win the Super Bowl now. I just heard everyone saying that. That's insane. This was a guy that you had your entire offense run around. I don't understand letting that guy walk. It blows my mind. Unless you were planning on drafting a quarterback, maybe even moving up to get Jaden Daniels.
If you wanted them to get a quarterback, who would it be?
Jaden Daniels. I think he's I think he's uber talented. I think he's got a similar skill set to Daniel Jones, but maybe is more athletic. And
I want Drake May. That's who I want. If they do go quarterback. And if receiver, who is it Neighbors? You want Neighbors?
Yeah, I know Marvin Harrison Jr., he's your Ohio State guy.
It's a possibility. It could be a possibility.
I just got some concerns about that guy. I really do.
Oh, my God. I'm
done. I really do.
I can't listen to this.
You know, he's an Ohio State guy. That's
Ohio State receivers are great. What are you talking
about? No. That's what I'm saying. He's got good pedigree, but just, I don't know. So there's something's giving me a bad feeling about him. I feel like Malik Neighbors is a lock. I think that kid's a guaranteed hit.
Well, we'll see. We will see. It's 10 days away. It is 10 days away.
I wouldn't be upset if they got Marvin Harrison Jr. Trust me. I wouldn't be. That wouldn't make me. But there's something's making me feel like.
Here he goes. He just doesn't like Ohio State. It's okay. Just admit it. It's okay.
You can
just
admit it. Dwayne Haskins.
What? What'd you just say?
Dwayne Haskins.
R.I.P. Come on. That's
no, I know. That's the guy I wanted.
I know. I think we.
I was definitely not evaluating quarterbacks properly that year. He looked so good. You got to admit, he looked good. That's your boy. But I'll tell you what. Look, I think that also speaks to how important getting some experience in college is and getting some games in. Ask Trey Lance what that's all about.
Amen to that.
Hey, play four games in college and then go pro, Ted. That should go great.
He did well for money wise. So he's set for life with that.
Well, so did Jamarcus Russell,
No, he went bankrupt. He went bankrupt, the poor bastard.
That's right. It's where Trey Lance is headed.
Oh, my God. Owning a couple of
car washes, then he'll be working at one.
Joe, you're just such a bad now? Terrible, Joe. We don't get you on in so long. Now he's starting to wish bad upon people. That's not good, Joseph. As a New York fan, I'm excited for the Rangers. You should be excited for the Knicks and the Rangers. A lot of high expectations going into the postseasons. We'll see if we can maybe revisit 1994, 30 years later in 2024. Plus the NFL draft next week. A lot's going on. We will be back next week because me and Ted are going West Coast. Yes, we are going to Scottsdale, Arizona, where the UConn Huskies just won 2 weeks ago. Title Town USA, I guess, is UConn right now. Home of the Weathersfield Meat House, by the way, too, where they give the best chicken parm sandwich in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, as Joseph Aguirre joined us, we are Keys to the City. We'll see you next episode. We are out.
You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.